Larry,
okay.
You want to...
Yes.
What we're looking at?
Chair Hill and committee members, Department of Justice is appearing before you here today to provide you with an overview of their information system services, to discuss the components of their base budget, and to provide some details on a policy package that they have before the Ways and Means Subcommittee. Today, before you will be Sue Wilson, the Administrative Services Division Administrator, Jim Jorgensen, their Information Services Manager, and Geronimo Tagatak, who is the DAS IRMD analyst assigned to the Department of Justice. As I mentioned before, this budget is up for review on, before the Public Safety Subcommittee, who is anxious to get this committee's recommendations on the base budget and this policy package. In general, the policy package is seeking approval for hardware, software, and positions to move from a Banyan Vine system to a standard one that fits into the state enterprise system. In particular, the committee is interested in your recommendations on what portion of the expenditures are one-time in nature so that they don't roll up into the next biennium's budget appropriately, what level of ongoing staffing is necessary to operate the system, and whether or not the planned expenditures are reasonable, appropriate, and justified.
Excellent. Sue, welcome.
Mr. Chair, members of the record, for the record, my name is Sue Wilson. I'm Director of Administrative Services for the Department of Justice. With me is Jim Jorgensen, our Information Services Manager. We were asked to come talk to the committee because we do have a policy package currently up in front of the Public Safety Subcommittee related to some changes in the network operating system for the Department of Justice. We have tried to anticipate the questions that you may have, and we have provided you with two handouts that show you some detail on base budget information and also in the project plan that we've gone through. What I think I'd like to do at this point is to have Jim address a little bit of the history in where we are in our current system, how we got to where we are, and what direction are we moving, and why would we like to move in this direction.
Welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, I'm Jim Jorgensen. I'm the Information Services Manager for the Department of Justice. I was asked to provide just a brief history. The department really got started with computers in 1987 when a Wang mini computer was installed with approximately 125 terminals. In 1991, the agency began implementing local area networks and desktop PCs. We worked with a consulting firm on needs assessment and project planning and selected at that time Banyan Vines as the network operating system because of the wide spread and number of offices that the department had to run a network between. Just for your information, that action by the department predated the later decision by DAS to go with a different operating system as its standard. So today we're on 100% local area network systems, PCs, on all the desktops. The PCs that people use range it from the low end to a Pentium 133. The ones we're purchasing now are in the 600 and 700 megahertz range. Our LAN is typically 100 megabit Ethernet switch backbone with a 10 megabit Ethernet to the desktop. We connect all of our offices by frame relay. Typically that's T1, though not exclusively, and we utilize Cisco routers. We presently have 9 file servers running Banyan Vines. In addition to file services, those servers provide mail, calendaring, and of course directory services. We have separate servers in addition for things like an SMTP gateway, which is utilized to hook into the state system for interagency email, and web server and some security services. We also run 6 data servers that are operating under Windows NT with SQL Server as the database engine. Staffing has about the same history. 1985 was the first time the department had any technical staff. 1987, when the Wang was put in, there were 2 professional staff, and some support staff positions were rotated in to give some additional assistance. As it stands right now, we're set up in 3 functional areas. We have an operations area, which includes our network services, hardware, and user support. That operation has 7 positions plus a team leader. We have a development group, which handles design, development, maintenance, and operations of data systems in our divisions. That team has 4 members plus a team leader. We have a legal applications group, which is the area which consults with the divisions on their software needs and helps them select commercial software products. And they're also in charge of implementing that software and managing and administering the software. And we have 3 people in that unit plus a team leader. As Sue noted, we've provided a sheet that shows what the a summary of what the budget looks like. As you can see, the we're not talking about a lot of money in the base budget. If you split out the personal services costs, we're talking about approximately $500,000-$600,000 that we have to spend on the core systems for the department. Those expenses would include things like the servers, be they file servers or data servers. They also are for the networking, so that's Ethernet hubs and switches, as well as routers if they're needed. And then the enterprise level software, which would include those things which the department has deployed system-wide. Examples of that would be our word processing, document management, email, calendar, and a time billing system that's used. The package before you is actually comprised of multiple parts. Because we're on Banyan Vines and because Banyan Vines has been discontinued and is no longer a viable product, there is a element of the package that would assist us in replacing the current Banyan Vines on all the file servers. Our intent is to move those onto the Windows 2000 platform. As part of that project, the existing email we use is embedded in the Banyan Vines servers, so that also must be replaced. Well, I should note that we are working with DAS on the Unified Enterprise Email project, and we'll be coordinating that effort with them. As part of that NAS replacement, we feel it's important to increase the security, and so that's also included as part of the package. We are a law enforcement agency as well as an attorney agency, and so security is of obvious and high importance. A lot of confidentiality requirements, of course. Additionally, as we move from Banyan, we've actually been kind of blessed because a lot of notorious and nefarious deeds pass over us because Banyan's fairly obscure and so not a common target of hackers and other no good people. So we anticipate needing to increase our security at the same time. Additionally, the security piece will enable us to do more, which we do plan on, in terms of external communications. This is in various forms. We have various initiatives that are being considered to expand communications and sharing of information with client agencies. We wish to do a better job of supporting our employees on travel status, and of course, we have e-government, and the fact that we'll be doing a lot more of our business in coming years outside of the confines of our own walls. The next piece of that package that I need to inform you of is the PC replacement. We don't have funding to do the job we need to do in terms of keeping current equipment on top of employees' desks, and so we're requesting funding to get us onto a four-year replacement cycle. 4 years, as you may know, is not aggressive by any means. A lot of the industry recommendations are more in the line of 3 years. The fact right now, I mean, this by any means, we just got rid of 486 machines and we still have 133s on people's desks. So we have a lot of productivity problems with those people. They just takes a long time for them to do their work. It also increases my office's total cost of ownership, as we tend to see a very high level of support calls for those older PCs. The fourth element in the package is staffing enhancements, starting at the user support level. If I may, I'll just mention to you that in the current biennium, the Attorney General formed what is called a users group, which is comprised of senior management from each of the divisions that have gone through all of the things I'm telling you about today and helped us come up with a technology plan that closely is tied to the business plan of place. One of the initiatives of that group is to do a better job of training and user support. As you know, we're not a production kind of environment. We're working with knowledge workers, and they tend to not have a single set of tools they're using or a single set of needs. And we just find that we're overtaxed. So what we are attempting to do in this package is to add two people to the help desk. We presently have two ISS-1 positions, which is the entry level in the technical personnel classification system assigned to the help desk. We have some problems in retention of those people. We also have some problem in the depth of knowledge. So by upgrading those positions to IS-5, we are intending to provide a higher level of support. As part of that system, or this project, will also be incorporating a single training position into that same environment, and with the goal of providing a closer continuum of support services, be it training or support. The bottom line to my people is to just help people get the job done as efficiently as they can.
Jim, let me know.
Yes,
Mr. Chair. Give me a range. I'm trying to understand what the salary range of a IS specialist 5 is.
I can, in the budget notebook, under the materials I handed out, their policy package 112 has an IS-5 in it at step 2, salary range $3,398 per month. And there's a step 1 also at, that's two positions at that level.
Yeah.
And then they have an IS-5 at step 8 that's $4,476 a month.
In 2 years, you're just assuming they're going to come in at that step, or is that just not, I'm just not really familiar in terms of how this works?
Speak to that. Mr. Chair, basically the one IS-5 that we have in there that's at an average that is at the step 8 is a continuation of a limited duration position, so we already have someone in that position at a step 8. The other two positions we do as as with any new positions in budget, they're budgeted at step two. In IS these days, it is almost unusual to get somebody to come in as a step two. And the IS-1, as mentioned, is the entry-level position. I don't have a salary schedule with me, but I'd say it's approximately $2,000 per one. I'd all have to get that information.
So we're talking like $10 an hour?
Yeah, it's an entry-level.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, as well as enhancing the level of services and the ability of those people to pay more attention to training-related issues instead of just whether or not something works, the other thing our plan is to do is to take those two existing ISS-1 positions and put them in a hardware-specific role. We, because of multiple buildings that we're in, spend a lot of staff resources dealing with hardware issues, all the way from receiving new computers, getting them set up, getting them delivered to the site, returning the old computer and getting them cleaned up so they can go out on for disposition, as well as the maintenance and attending to whatever hardware or installation problems those PCs have. So for the first time, we'd have people dedicated to take care of those issues, which are, of course, important to anyone trying to get work done on a computer. And as well, that relieves that part of the burden from the existing help desk so that they're able to concentrate on other work. We also, in that group of staffing, have asked for a management analyst position. This is a new area the department wishes to pursue. We don't have management analysts assigned to the individual divisions, and so the election this time was to put one in a central role. The purpose of the position is to help the divisions identify workflow and business process issues that may or may not have a technology solution involved. As it is now, I send out people that are on the development team whose job is to design and develop databases, and a lot of times they get put into a position of helping the divisions determine exactly what the flow is and what the flow needs to be. So the idea is this person would be more available for that kind of work and better trained in those kind of areas than perhaps my database people. The key thing that helps us handle, in addition to just general efficiency and productivity issues, I think, is the fact that with e-government, we need to be positioned to look at re-engineering the way work is done. It's not just an issue of putting a form out on the internet. We need to see what impact that has and how we're best able to efficiently handle those forms as they come back in. So this is a position we hope to be able to utilize in that manner. And then finally, in that same area of the policy package, as the position that was noted earlier in ISS 5, that is presently on a limited duration status. That was approved earlier in the biennium as a limited duration because HIDA, which stands for High Intensity Drug Trafficking Area, is a federally funded grant program that's new to us. The program now appears in every means to be a continuing program with continuing funding. The person is therefore requested to be made a permanent position for that purpose. Generally, that person, because of the high security, we administer that system separately. They're involved in legal or law enforcement intelligence information, as well, which is up to and including exactly information about what investigations are being handled by various law enforcement agencies. In addition, the plan of the department is that this is a system that will be provided to law enforcement agencies throughout the state, be they local, county, or federal agencies working in the state of Oregon. So there's a lot of work to do with interfacing with those agencies to get them on the system and to make sure it works.
Mr. Chair, if I might add with that, that particular position, the position that supports HIDTA, is funded exclusively through federal funds that come into the department through the Oregon State Police. So there's no effect on the rate of the Department of Justice for those positions, for that one position, the HIDTA position.
Okay. General Fetich?
I have a couple questions. Well, I mean, we're kind of in a unique situation with your department. Obviously, if you're going through and replacing all your PCs, much more so than we have any of the other agencies that we've seen. Is there a reason, did you guys look at thin client and look at the budget impacts that would have, and especially that impact on continuing personnel versus a PC-based system, and especially in light of the security issues that you have those centrally stored and proper security around those so you can monitor that?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Partridge, we certainly do and have, when this package was first developed, the management group I talked to you about before got information, and we did look at the thin client issue. Thin client issue isn't particularly fixed in the way it's viewed in the industry, I don't believe. I mean, there's the very thin client versus the somewhat thin client. And there's no real cut and dried line that you can say this is thin and this is a regular desktop. So one way of looking at it is we don't really buy a tree a whole lot to begin with, so our clients aren't real fast to begin with. We certainly have, as part of the plan the department has is to get these projects out of the way, they're in front of you now, and that's going to pave the way for us to do more in terms of web enabling our applications. We feel that that's a more appropriate place for us to get into the very, very thin clients. Right now we're running applications that are heavily Windows-based and tend to be very DLL intensive and require a lot of activity with those files. I mean, the difference between just loading a program can be a minute versus a couple of seconds, depending if it's loading off the network or not. Additionally, in our present environment with Banyan Vines, we have some problems in the way we have staff that move from one office to another, and it's hard for us to get those people getting the right applications locally instead of over the network in our current environment. We're hoping that changes once we move over to 2000, but right now it's very bad for us, if you can imagine going to Portland and waiting for your software to load from Salem. It gets a little tedious. So it's certainly an issue we are considering and will look at as we go along, but I think these are the first steps, and that paves the way for us to get more into that area. Why we're coming in now is basically to cure a problem we've had for a long time, and that is we just don't deal with replacing PCs in the kind of time frame they need to be replaced. And, you know, I would suspect that is different than it's handled in a lot of agencies, but just has been a funding issue for us. And I can't speak enough to the fact that it causes very significant productivity issues for us, as well as I'm sure you can imagine retention issues when people sometimes don't think they're given the tools they need to do their job.
Mr. Chair, Representative Patridge, just to speak to that a little bit also, I think you know historically a little bit about the budgeting history of the department and the fact that we completely revamped our budget last biennium. Prior to that time, we didn't have an IS budget, so to speak. We had one large legal services budget. As we built the budget last time, we were able to use the small amount of history that we had. So that's what we've based this on, and there has never been a great deal of funding set aside for any kind of PC replacement. So we haven't been like many agencies who maybe have carried that forward through the years. This is really something where we've been bare bones the last two biennium, and this is the first technology package that we've brought in.
And maybe I just, Representative Lowe asked me a good question, just what's thin client basically over here, and it's a terminal or semi-dummy terminal that centrally serves then. You get your applications and your data exchange off that, off of a network. And so as opposed to having a lot of those applications loaded on a normal PC like you would, it's kind of the, if you remember the old green screen kind of terminals, it's kind of an updated version of that, and a lot of companies are going to those because they're a lot less inexpensive than replacing a whole network. And I guess that's my concern is you're kind of at a crossroads that most other agencies are not at right now. And as we look across state agencies, and Jim and I have talked a little bit about this before, but you know, why would you not go to some kind of thin client versus a PC environment? I'm looking at that corporately for mm-hmm. what we're doing at my company, and we're happy, you know, we've got probably almost as many nodes as you guys.
Mr. Chairman.
Sir,
well, first of all, I'm glad Representative Lowe asked me what the
I saw you down there. All concerned.
Yes. Second of all, I want to know, is there any funds in your base budget to support your proposed IT project?
Mr. Chair, Senator Yee, we have taken into account what's in the base budget, and I think if you can look across, for example, in some of the elements for the PC replacement, we are planning to use what we do have available in the base budget for that, and what we're asking for in the package is just the amount over that that's needed to make the full replacement, but we are using what's in the base budget before asking for the additional package.
So what is the amount for your, did you say, for PC purchasing?
Our base budget for 9901 for PCs was $118,500. It's the bottom line on the, it says desktop PCs on the budget detail. We're projecting,
which
we're projecting that we will have actually spent $125,000 approximately. So our base for 0103 comes out with inflation to $121,000. In package 112, we are asking for $441,000 for PC replacement.
I have had conversations with some judges who have inquired about technological equipment that would help them do their jobs better as they move from their chambers and onto the bench, or if there are an insufficient number of courtrooms as they move around the courtrooms, or oftentimes judges are traded and they go to different counties, some of which are ill-equipped to deal with their technological needs. The judges are asking, when do they get their laptops?
Mr. Chair, Representative Lowe, unfortunately, we have nothing to do with the judges and
You don't provide them.
The judicial department does, but we're simply, we provide the legal support to the state agencies.
Oh, I see.
And actually, though, our interaction with the court is important, and we're finding more and more that some of the courts are requiring electronic filings. They're requiring more electronic sharing of evidence and data. So we are getting some pressure from the courts, especially in our trial division, to upgrade what it is we're using so that we can interact better with the courts. and also to be able to do more document management, potentially scanning in materials so that we can interact with the courts better.
And that was the next question.
Yeah, I imagine it was.
They've had a piece every session for the past three sessions.
They're tired of being...
Go ahead.
How many PCs will be need to be replaced out of your base, assuming everything remains the same, going to the next biennium with this?
Mr. Chairman, you mean the following biennium or this current? Coming up biennium, the next biennium.
0305.
Yeah, 0305.
0305.
So I'm trying to get a sense in terms of what your schedule is for replacing this.
Our desire at this point, given the change in technology that we may encounter by then, is that we'd like to get everything on a four-year replacement cycle, and that would require us to replace half in each two-year period. So right now we're running 620, so we'd need to replace 310, although that number may increase depending on what the FTE is.
So we're looking at either 400 in the next biennium, since we're doing 234 here, and there's 400, and I just don't know how many are sort of out of cycle, or does this replace everything that you think? And you had some numbers here.
We sat down and went through that today. We're looking for the right note to get to that. Okay, Mr. Chair, we sat down and went through that. We looked at the 620 that we're carrying, taking away the 234 that we're replacing this time, leaves 386. We still have plans to purchase another 67 yet this biennium in 9901, which gets us very close to about 320 we would need to do, and we would assume that we would be doing half of those to get on the cycle. 2 years and 2 years.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm just wondering, I know you guys redid your budget last time, since I sat on your budget committee last time, but I guess my question is, what are you doing with your enterprise hardware and software? Who are you reaching out to? Who are your clients? In terms of that area, I know DOJ does a lot of things. I know you have some websites. I know you're doing some public outreach in terms of that kind of stuff, but I'm wondering what your enterprise solution is that you're working with right now.
Mr. Chairman,
and as a second question, when you answer that, what I'm interested in is, what did you have before the 9901 budget cycle for enterprise solutions for IS?
Mr. Chairman, may I ask for clarification? Now, are you talking in the vein, sir, of the e-government initiatives or the enterprises in terms of the state agency move towards singularity?
Well, I'm asking for enterprise in terms of the move to state agencies. It's being the line is being blurred in several of the budgets, whether it be the e-commerce piece or whether it be the enterprise solutions, and what was the budget prior to the 9901 base budget, and for these particular line items, and what is it now? We're finding in a lot of budgets that there is a lot of one-time asks last legislative cycle, and those things got rolled up. We were on a budget this morning in just with one of the boards, and they rolled up 70% of a one-time cost, you know, even though it was about $7,000. Those roll-ups make a huge difference as we look at. And these other funds that you guys have predominantly come from other state agencies. So.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Patridge. starting at the beginning. I mean, I think the department traditionally has been a consumer of information. So if you went back to 9901, we utilized and continue to a lot of other state agency information that is client information we need to do their business. So that is true of agencies like corrections, for example. We use their inmate information system to know where people are and get them to the right hearings and things. So we have a long list of other agency data systems we use. Traditionally, we do not share our data systems because of the security issues and the client confidentiality issues. So we have, of course, since DAS first put in the enterprise mail system that they host, we've been a member of that. So we do have that as an efficiency both for communications and for exchanging documents that are being worked on. We have, in fact, worked as close as we're able with DAS on where the whole enterprise world is going. Myself and the Attorney General's Chief Administrator both sit on the Governor's IT Roundtable, and I've recently accepted a chair on the email committee. So we certainly are keen on coordinating to the extent we can, and we'll wait for DAS to show their leadership to the extent that's capable. We were prepared this year to think someone was going to be moving along, and we're anxious to be looking at that, and of course it got delayed. As to do we hold any money that may fit into that, I would say the opposite. When DAS tends to talk about the economies of going to a more unified enterprise system, it tends to be something that is actually a budget increase to us. Most recently, I've heard of them talking about a fairly low monthly cost to client agencies for each employee that uses a unified email system. Unfortunately for that, that's about 10 times greater than what we pay out of pocket for our current email system. So while we're anxious to cooperate and participate in the enterprise systems that are being worked on, I don't think that there are going to be anything in our case that is going to save a lot of cash. The other part of the enterprise, of course, the e-government, and to this point, we have gotten going with some of our more consumer-based services in terms of providing information and giving them forms online, and we're working internally now to make those the transaction part of those processes also online. Too often now, they're told, here's the form, print it out and mail it to us. So of course, our next step is to make it so they can fill it out online and plug it straight into our system, saving them time and effort and also saving us the cost of rekeying that information into a data system when it's received.
Mr. Chair, follow up.
Commissioner Patridge.
I guess it still doesn't answer my question, though. Prior to the 9901 budget cycle, what was the amount for enterprise hardware and software? We've now spent, what, $200,000 last time for hardware and software. You're asking for in your base budget as part of the roll-up another $200,000, and in addition to that, for your policy package, you're asking for an additional $130,000, $134,000 or whatever. And I'm wondering, what are you getting for that? Is that all passed through to DAS?
Representative Petridge, you would like to know what these line items are representing in terms of product purchase?
Yeah, what I'm asking, is this just a DAS pass-through? Because we looked at DAS's budget Friday or Thursday, and unscheduled a bunch of money from their enterprise piece to the tune of about $13 million. Is this DAS money? Is this money that's going into your own department's budget? I see this number for maintenance, too, or is that the DAS? I'm trying to track where the DAS money is going. I mean, you talk about DAS money. Part of your explanation was you talked about DAS money and how it's not cheaper for your department based upon what they do occasionally. But my question is where's the DAS money reflected, I guess, in your IS budget that's a pass-through for enterprise? And then what is this, you know, $300,000 plus that you're asking for when you include your base and your policy package for enterprise going to pay for?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Patridge, if you referred to the actual budget document, there's a breakdown of what the cost is for package 112 on the governor's recommended page 116. There's a breakout of the kinds of products that are to be acquired. And as you can see, those are competitively procured hardware and software that work on the servers. So no, that is not DAS pass-through. The same kind of expense is what you would find represented if you looked at 9901 or a previous biennium of the kinds of things that are being expended is our servers, the components of the local area network, which would be things like Ethernet hubs and switches, and then perhaps cost of routers. And then on the software side, it's those applications which are deployed across the board to all employees, such as an email account.
Okay, but I want to get a fair question. But I want to get down to, I'm trying to understand your budget numbers when we look at this, because it's going to help me. How much are you going to pay to DAS for an enterprise solution in the 01-03 base budget, regardless of which category it comes out of?
Geronimo, do you know?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Geronimo Tagatac, DAS IRMD. That I know of, I'm not sure, but that I know of, none of the money here is a pass-through. The maintenance appears to be maintenance for the file servers, the actual file servers, the local the network operating system maintenance, the upgrades, and those sorts of things. But I'm not aware of any pass-through.
Go ahead.
So if the maintenance, if we have $200,000 going for the maintenance, and if I'm reading this correctly, we're looking to purchase these systems at the beginning of the biennium, and that means these things go away. The Banyan fines, which is $174,000, so is that a savings? Why are we paying for maintenance, something that's going away at the beginning? It was a noted, in one line of the budget narrative that this was expressed would go out at the beginning of the biennium rather than later in the biennium. So I'm just trying to, there's $200,000 there.
Mr. Chairman, a little more to the maintenance line item. We are looking at a variety of maintenance or software subscriptions on some of the applications we have in place, such as our document management system, such as the time accounting system. So those are rolled into here and aren't reflected in the cost per se. That is the cost of operating. There isn't a cost of acquiring them because that was done previously. As far as the Banyan maintenance, we've rolled that over in our projection into Microsoft maintenance to buy the same level of service, which is an extended hour telephone service as well as, so if we have a problem that's affecting operation of a server, we can get assistance, even if it's at midnight, that we need the help. So that is a significant part of that amount as well. In that line item, too, it's not just those contractual kinds of things. It also shows those items which are bought to replace disk drives or other things in the nature of failure. I could add, Mr. Chairman, as far as the enterprise itself issue is concerned, this package was developed in advance of DAS really getting the information to us about where they were with email. So this package was written saying we would be acquiring email, and in fact DAS is now saying that we should be in an acceptable time frame for us be able to move on to a state unified system. When we crunch the numbers for that, it would remove the acquisition cost here, but that monthly charge that DAS is envisioning, which is not set in rock yet, but the way they are projecting the cost for that, those numbers work out about equivalently. So that instead of buying our own email software as called for here, we would be paying a monthly charge per employee to DAS for email services.
But I'm still trying to get to where this money's going to. I mean, a $300,000 is a lot of money for, you know, for information. You can buy a lot of hardware and software for those kind of solutions. And I'm trying to ask, one, where the money for DAS services is in your IS budget, whether that be for broadband, whether that be for, you know, whatever the various charges DAS would have, what is that number amount? And if we need to pull out the ABIS report or something like that, we should be able to get what that number is in your projected budget. I mean, we don't have the ABIS report here, but I would like to have that number. And, you know, because that was part of the explanation you gave for the enterprise hardware and software. And what we're running into is we're getting these things rolled up. And I want to know where that, you know, I feel like these numbers are soft numbers in terms of the couple hundred grand and the additional, you know, $120,000 in the, or $130,000 plus in enterprise hardware and software. And I'm not following where you guys are going with your numbers. I don't mean to be picayune about this, but I guess that's what our job is. So.
I guess maybe follow on to that. As I'm sitting here, I'm looking at the detail that you gave us today. We've got the policy option package, but yet we see dollars in base related to the same project. Is that a correct statement? Because you've got, I'm looking here at security, you've got $46,000 in base on the security, and then it's part of the policy option package. And I'm just trying to, we got $121,000 in base, then we have a policy option package. I'm just curious why it wasn't all in the policy option package, or is it just, that's just the way we do budgeting as we roll it up?
Mr. Chairman, I believe that is correct, that is the money that was set aside in those areas this time, and so we were trying to provide that information for the record and for your information. And the part that actually is new that is contained in that package is additional information that we feel we need to add to the spending we already have.
What is supplies and materials? In this sense, you've broken out hardware, software, and maintenance, but yet we still have supplies and materials. What would that be
Mr. Chairman, those are generally related to those costs that are associated with having employees. So desks and supplies and anything other, we broke out training thinking that may be of particular interest, but mm-hmm. that was the only item we broke out of that specifically. So generally that is just that whole...
Mr. Chair, it's any cost related to having additional staff. We have a certain percentage of FNS that's applied to any new staff person that we have to allow for facilities for them, for desks, for phones, for anything that we need to support that those particular positions.
So is that where the money back to DAS is going to go? Is that paying for phones service? And I mean, there's no network charges here that I see this is 17 people that this equates for?
Yes.
And so $150,000.
You're only adding two people for $118,000.
Total 17 total existing. So we're talking 268 $69,000 in supplies and materials for 17.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, the budget is not constructed for those telephone in which we would include the data circuits. Those show elsewhere in the administration budget, so we'd have to pull those numbers if that is particular interest for you.
Yes, that would be. So I think we're trying to understand, you're the first group after DAS, so we'll take a little bit of time here so we start figuring out the questions that we need to make sure that we go forward. So you're just put in the position, and I'm very thankful in terms of the level of detail you've been able to bring out. Compliment you, because DAS was even unable to bring out this level of detail. So you should be complimented on that. But I think this is what we're trying to understand, how BASE is constructed and how it relates to these policy option packages, because technology is becoming a huge line item that, in my mind, has been stuck down in service and supply, and sort of versus, and should be broken out. And we start having discussions about what the implications are of purchasing, package X, and then the roll-up costs and the continuing maintenance costs associated with this going forward. So.
Mr. Chair, we will continue to try to break this down. I think to understand the reason that we have a policy package is because we don't have the roll-up that many agencies would to do with this. So when we came in with a $1.4 million policy package, it's because that's what we needed in addition to what we're doing to actually to carry.
Understood. Geronimo, have we had discussions here about hosting all of these elements in terms of relationship for central services coming out of DAS to assist the agency? So in terms of we've got a web component, we've got email, we've got, can these servers go into the data center so that the agency doesn't have to, there's a lot of things that we can provide out of DAS to support the implementation of this package.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, we haven't had those discussions yet, but we will be having those discussions with the agency. I can promise you that.
The security package component of the security, in terms of, have we had discussions between the state security officer and the agency in terms of what services can be centrally provided from DAS in helping to devise the appropriate security?
Mr. Chairman, I spoke with Scott Burrows, who's the state security expert, just this morning, with regards to this package. Scott feels that the costs are in line, as a matter of fact, a little low, given the standards of the components that they're asking for are reasonable. And I'm sure that Scott will discuss with the agency the possibility of for centrally hosting those security services.
Okay. Any additional questions?
I represent Chair Hill, and maybe in follow-up to Representative Patrick's questions, some of the S&S expenditures you're seeing here are additional details that aren't often discussed, even in Ways and Means. They've built this budget down to details that I haven't seen previously. In terms of explaining some of the S&S amounts, some of these, or a significant amount of these S&S in the package are one-time expenses. Even the ones that are in the supplies and materials line, I'm sure some of those are one-time expenses whenever you add new positions. In this case, they're proposing four. There are desks and walls and PCs and things of that nature that are a one-time expense. So of that 118 they've shown there, I'm sure that's a part of the reason that's more per FTE than what you would see for the 150,000 in the base for 17 positions. And in total, their package is about 1.4 million. Around 828,000 of that is described as a one-time expense in their narrative on page 111. For additional hardware, software, and required changes to the system. So we are seeing significant amounts in the package based on their immediate plans for 0103.
Okay.
to note for committee members, in our ever desirous quest to have a project plan, we were provided with a high-level project plan. So if you have any specific questions on any components, you might ask Sue or Jim to come and explain any of the components. Representative Patridge?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I assume that you're going to, we approve some positions for DAS, for project management, and for IRMD. I assume that there is going to be some kind of DAS charge, especially for oversight on this particular piece, and where is the money reflected? Is that money reflected in here somewhere?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Patridge, let me see if I can answer that. Normally, DAS charges a quality assurance of the four projects that are considered substantive, that is $500,000 or larger for development. And unless this project requires that much development or more, we would not require the agency to have an independent quality assurance contractor or charge that fee. I'm assuming the same thing is the case for project management.
So from the perspective of the fact that some total of this is over $500,000, are we going to have a project assurance on this in terms of?
Mr. Chairman, unless the project involves development, substantial amount of development of $500,000 or over, we would not. However, let me assure this committee that DAS will watch and monitor this project and report on this project.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Patridge.
I'd just say this is a pretty big project to replace the whole agency network and PCs and everything else, and it's not something to be taken with lightly. And I thought that DAS, I guess my understanding of the DAS IRMD project management piece was going to be large projects over $500,000, but I guess that means maybe programming kinds of projects or new projects. But boy, this is a pretty substantial project for this department to be taking on without a lot of internal, you know. I appreciate the fact that you have an IS director person, but I'm sure he has enough to do beyond supervise this type of project. And so I was just surprised that there was nothing reflected in this particular budget to have some people from DAS on a $1.4 million project that's going to replace basically the whole backbone of the department's computer systems.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Patridge, let me say this, that any of the information resource purchases that are going to be made are going to come through our office, and they are going to be reviewed by us along with the people in our network operating system. We will scrutinize this pretty carefully.
Well, that does bring up an interesting subject, Representative Patridge, in terms of the agency's team mission. This is a pretty aggressive plan to replace a number of systems within 5 months. Plus, training 100% of the users on the new system in terms of, so it might be something that we want to consider how we track and follow that through this process, so that we track it to success rather than a midterm crisis showing up, you know, in October at the e-board asking for additional dollars because we didn't have enough money for professional services, or you give something up.
Well, there's no professional services.
Well, that's what I was, there's 46,000. It took you about a day and a half to spend all that, so.
I mean, that's not attorney general fees, but I can.
Cheaper than that.
Oh, okay.
So, any further questions? Any questions we can have, if you come back and answer? We will move this out in work session on Wednesday, the intention. Perhaps you could ask the question regarding following the ODOT model of increasing the level of the position on the help desk. I'm assuming this is phone help desk?
Both, Mr. Chairman, both phone and in person.
So, and then the entry level are going to be
personal services.
Where the line was. The entry level people that are there will go desk compensation repairs and upgrades. So in terms of, so that's, we're going to add to, we're going to support 600 people, 600 systems, and then the two people that are on the help desk, what's the number that are, we get two, are going to then install the 200.
Which, on average, as it stands now, would be half of the 620 systems per year would need to be replaced. So your time.
Well, I'm just looking at your time frame and your schedule.
Right.
And I have two people install 235 systems in probably 2 months. I'm assuming it's the tail end of that. You'll have some planning and configuration issues. I'm seeing some issues here that you know, we're probably not going to have the greatest success, and there'll be turmoil at the Department of Justice the time that this occurs.
Well, Mr. Chairman, since it's not a new project, I don't think that, the other elements of our project, you're correct in assuming we need to be very precise with you on how they're going. I mean, these are replacements and upgrades, and so they're handled more customarily in the course of normal business for us. I will admit to you that we would have to be very lucky at getting an order and a shipment at the very first of the biennium to stick to that schedule, but the risk to the department is not measured if we lagged in the installation of those slightly. So I can see that more in the other areas in which you're interested, but that's more of a routine business.
New service, a firewall. So, but in terms of, at some point you've budgeted, so you're not going to be maintaining the banyan vines, or you're just going to go the next biennium without any maintenance or support on that. Prior to the transition. So if you lag, then we're at risk because there's not a support.
Mr. Chairman, the way the budget was constructed, those things all appear to you in one package, but those are not necessarily the way that they were constructed internally. I mean, the NAS project is separate from the desktop project as far as we're concerned. So it's not significant if we put those desktop in before or after the NAS work is done, because basically our process to replace a PC is to make a mirror image of its disk, and any software updates that need to be different on that machine. And that would not change based on where we are with the network. Those PCs that are in place when we go into a given building to modify the server, to take the banyan server out and put a Windows server in, are going to need to be having their configurations changed.
You're going to have to touch every PC in their building. Well, I'm just looking back here on your schedule, and it's all happening simultaneously. So that's why this is all going to be a flurry of activity between July and December, and all things are going to occur in the same period of time. So hence, and when I look at that and I look at the fact, you know, something's got to give. And so,
well, and Mr. Chairman, obviously we're most concerned, and it's the greatest importance to us to move forward with the NAS project. Those are different staff assigned to those areas, so I'm not particularly concerned that we can carry on both elements of that work simultaneously, because the help desk staff typically wouldn't be directly involved in the work that's done on the servers or on the network.
Until it changes.
Except for answering the phone when it starts to ring.
So, yeah, I mean, this is significant change. And so it's sort of, what is our plan to manage that change in this period of time when one day you cut over everyone to the Windows 2000 servers, and so you have to touch everybody's system and reconfigure it. That's 600 visits. So I guess it's a very busy weekend for somebody.
Except, Mr. Chairman, it usually doesn't work to our benefit, but the county has many offices, so we'll have some localization to deal with. So even if we wanted to, we wouldn't be in a position to change out the little network.
Great.
In fact, if I may, I mean, we are testing and working with vendors now, mostly in the area of that dual operation, with the anticipation that we can keep the old network running in consistent form as the new servers are put in place. So that is the reason why it was laid out this way in the schedule, is with that expectation that that's going to be made to work.
Where will you be paying for that expertise in your budget?
Mr. Chairman, I mean, to this point, we have gone with the economical approach and gotten a lot of vendors to help us out. We're working now with Microsoft on a more formal arrangement, and we have reserved a small amount of money to in the budget for this year to help us with those assistances that we may need. We are not looking at an overall design consulting project management thing, but we do want someone to assist us to make sure that the configuration is laid out appropriately.
So there's going to be an ending balance then of this planning?
No.
Unexpended funds? Or I'm just trying to understand in terms of after July 1, what monies are you going to expend for someone to assist you? And just
Mr. Chairman, we anticipate that we'll have the planning all completed this biennium.
But you're not anticipating the need of any physical help past the planning to occur and make this occur?
That is not our anticipation.
The only other issue I think that's relevant to the subcommittee work is whether or not there's a clear delineation in a work session as to what's one-time costs, so we can clearly note that in the budget report. The need for the positions, there's four of them, and whether or not the need for those is permanent or not. In each case, these are requested to be made permanent.
Perhaps if you go to the manufacturer who's going to supply the hardware and software and ascertain from them what professional services, what the average cost is for an organization of your size for professional services, and then come back to us with that detail, that would be move us more into the comfort zone to know whether or not you're going to need some additional funds for maintenance and so on.
Representative Patridge.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Geronimo, I just wanted to check with you if we can get a list through DAS IRMD of what you charge departments for computer use, whether it be, you know, I don't know if you're charging by the node, I don't know if you're charging by the PC, but you know, what your access charges are, what your ongoing charges are, so we can bump that up and compare that against budgets. That would be very helpful to me. And I know it sounds like that there hasn't been a resolution reached, at least on a system-wide state email solution, but I'd like to see any memos or anything that's been floated prior to the next committee meeting, so I know what some of those ongoing costs are going to be, so we can bump those up against what the department's doing with their base budget and then where they're going in with their future budget, so we can, so at least, you know, so I can look and say per PC, you know, where it's costing X in DAS
supplies. I don't know if DAS is requiring long-term maintenance contracts on, you know, on central purchasing of hardware or software. You know, I'd like to know what those requirements are so we've got them at one place, and maybe we have them already, Chairman Hill, but I'd like DAS to provide those to me before the next committee meeting so I can see that.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Patridge, I will certainly seek those out. To answer an additional question, Representative Patridge, that you had as to whether we require maintenance contracts, to my knowledge, we don't. They are available on the state price agreement. Agencies may choose to use them or not.
Can you also, is in the cost detail, let's see out here, the child support payments over to DHR, is that in these numbers or is that a separate line item?
Mr. Chair, are you speaking to?
This one here is the child support cost that we paid DHR, is that some
other place? That's separate. That's Mr. Chair, that's in the Division of Child Support budget because their money is dedicated for a specific purpose. We can't get into that to use that for anything on the legal side.
So
it's in a separate, that's a separate within the Division of Child Support.
So is there any other IT expenditures in any other divisions in the Department of Justice?
Mr. Chairman,
we're not talking about
that? We did provide the PC replacement cost there, which is carried in actual division budgets. There are no staff, with the exception of the SIDA program, which is included in the package. And the actual technology expenditures for that program are not. The program is jointly handled by us and OSP, so the technology expenditures for that HIDA program are not in our budget at all.
Okay. So next week we should have the payments that we pay to DHR documented out.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would be interested if there's anything in the child support package or IT upgrades especially. I know that there was a concern last time prior to the legislative session that many DA's offices across the state who were handling part of the child support issue and were linked into the state child support system had to shut down for several days or weeks to re-enter the data in the new system. And caused substantial problems throughout the state that were affected at the local level. I'd like to know if anything like that is being proposed in the current budget package, if there are upgrades that are being proposed, and whether the DA user groups have been brought on board to do any of those in terms of systems upgrades, because it was a huge, huge problem last time at the local level.
Is that in from the Justice's budget, even though, or is it going to be in DHR's budget? Yeah, since you're responsible for it, you're paying somebody else to do it.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, that some of that is in the Division of Child Support. I think, Representative Patridge, what was experienced last time was a major project that had been going on for quite some time called CSIS, which was the child support system. That was something that had been dealt with, certainly working with DAS on that, and we had federal certification that we had to meet. And to cut over to that, to meet the federal certification, was where the issues came up with the district attorney's office.
If a replacement is being contemplated of the child support system, because it is a cumbersome old system. I think it's been in place since 1985, isn't that right? So,
Mr. Chair, Representative Lowe, no, it has just completely been revamped in the last 2 years and to meet federal certification requirements, and there was a full audit that we went through. So it is completely different than it would have been at that point in time. There at some point in time may be discussions about changing the platform for that. It's not anticipated this biennium.
Thank you. I just wanted to make I would like some assurances from the department on this. And if that's what you're saying, then that's great. But I mean, we're always chasing technology. You know, we're always going to be chasing technology. But that reverberation that it has, you know, on the local DA's office in our counties across the state, is of significant impact. Even if you change from Windows 95 to NNT or when it, or 2000 kind of platform that they have to have on their local computers, and they've got to upgrade all their stuff at the local level, which they don't anticipate in their budgets. And I just want to make sure that, you know, what I'd like to know what your department is doing, especially if there will be discussions during this interim about changing platforms. I don't even know what the platform is on that particular system at this point, but what the department's going to do for their public involvement piece with DAs and IT, especially regarding DAs, because it did have an effect.
Forgive me if this is a little bit of an odd question, but it seems to me that because the feds mandate certain compliance with child support services, they it's customary to charge the federal government or get back money, 60% of the cost of what we pay out in providing those services, we get back. And if that was recently, sometimes it takes a long time to get that money back out of the feds. Has it come back? And is it reflected in the budget?
Mr. Chair, Representative Lowe, again, the Division of Child Support provides its services on contract to DHS, to Adult and Family Services. So when and how the money comes into DHS does not have as much of an impact on us, in that we are charging DHS for the services and the cost of those things provided. So DHS works within their own budget to provide us with that money. We're not getting it directly from the federal government.
Okay, so on Wednesday, we've been prepared to come and talk about the child support division, and there are no other IT, is there any other divisions?
Divisions are covered here.
So, okay. With that, we will adjourn without objection.